Good morning and welcome to the second hour of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, and Henry Frain at the controls this morning. In this hour of the show, we're pleased to have here as our guest Robert Exley. He's the president of Parkland College, has been president since the 1st of July of last year. He came to Champaign from Iowa, from Council Bluffs, where he served as the vice president of academic affairs for Iowa Western Community College. And before that, he served in a variety of positions in Florida at Miami-Dade Community College in Miami. He's also worked as a consultant in a number of areas, including leadership training and program evaluation and faculty development. He is himself a graduate of community college. He received his Associate of Arts degree from San Jacinto College in Pasadena, Texas, then went on to get his Bachelor of Science and Master of Arts degrees from University of Houston, Clear Lake, and PhD from the University of Texas at Austin. And this morning we thought we could do a couple of things. If people have specific questions about Parkland, they can certainly call in and talk about that. But we also thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about the idea of the community college and how that fits in with various kinds of opportunities for people to have education past the point of high school. Questions are certainly welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. At this point, I'm about halfway through with the peak of my day, so I'm sure I'll be much more confident and happy at noon. And I'm glad to have you here. How many students do you have at Parkland?
Currently, credit students, both career and technical and liberal arts, a little bit over 10,000.
Over 10,000. And as community colleges go, is that a big schools, small school?
That's a good size school. Community colleges are fascinating in that if you take a single campus college like ours, we're a very good size, but I wouldn't say we're large. I was at Miami-Dade. That's a multi-campus college that now, today, has 8 campuses and close to 160,000 students. It's enormous. The college I graduated from in San Jacinto has 3 campuses and total a little over 40,000 students. Right here in Illinois, we're probably in the upper quartile of the sizes of colleges, but the city colleges are very, very large, and Central Illinois is a large college. So community colleges themselves run the variety. Some of them are as small as 400 or 500 students, and some of them are as large as 100,000 plus.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something that probably there are a lot of people wouldn't appreciate or wouldn't know, that there are some. They think of community college as being a relatively small institution. The idea is that it serves the students of a community, and yet there are the City University of New York is a community college, and that's a big school.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful part of American higher education. Of course, I think you know that the junior college started in Joliet, Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely.
A long time ago, and so Illinois has been on the forefront of this. And nationally, Illinois community colleges are extremely well-respected, so it's just wonderful to have a chance to have a career here.
What is the average age of the Parkland student?
I think our average age now, if you go by averages, is somewhere around 28. But the majority of our students, probably close to 55-60% of our students, are between the ages of 17 and 24.
Well, that's interesting. I guess I would have thought that maybe you would have more, say, more than a 4-year college of like the University of Illinois. You probably would have more students, say, maybe over 30 than we would. But maybe that's not.
Well, I think that's changed really over time. I believe more and more community colleges are an option for students because of the cost factor. We're much more affordable than most universities. After 9/11, we saw some spikes in enrollment that are starting to peter out a little bit because parents were nervous and they wanted to keep kids closer to home. So that was across the nation. You saw that wherever you were at. Your enrollments went up and your age went down. And so community colleges, as you know, serve a whole variety of needs. And I like to think of community colleges, Parkland being one of them, as a college of first choice and second chances. We want to be the first choice for people in a variety of settings. If you're coming right out of high school and you want to go on for that four-year degree, but you're not quite sure if you want to go to the university, we're a good first place to start, and you can save mom and dad a lot of money.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you're like I was, you went right to work out of high school. I worked 5 years in a petrochemical plant in Houston, Texas, and then decided maybe college was possible for me. It was kind of a second chance for me.
Yeah. Well, that I think that is something that it's true of the community college, and you really have to appreciate the fact that it can serve a wide range of needs.
Yes, sir.
Everything from the person who maybe is thinking about university but not sure, maybe they're not quite ready, to someone who thinks, oh, that's a good opportunity in part because of the economics, to those people who are going to get maybe a particular kind of training or experience, mm-hmm. where four-year college, at least at that point, is not required. They don't have to do that.
Oh, exactly.
So it's there. It serves a variety of purposes.
You know, and on the national level, if you take all of the enrollment in American higher education, the enrollment that is found in community colleges is now close to 52%.
Really?
And a big part of that is exactly what you mentioned. A major thing we do and take very seriously is to quickly help people adjust and change if they want to change careers. If there's an economic need in the community, you'll see many community colleges that rise to the fore and retrain workers who have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
At Miami-Dade, when I was there, Eastern Airlines. Remember old Eastern Airlines?
Yes, I think I do.
Eastern Airlines went bankrupt, and we received a phone call and said, we have 700 people we need you to put in classes tomorrow. So within about 3 weeks, we redesigned, and some of those individuals went into RN programs and nursing programs, and others said, wow, I've always wanted a college degree. Now's an opportunity. So we try to respond immediately. Parkland, same thing. We have enormous number of opportunities for folks who say, in 2 years, let me give you an example. Ford Asset is a very specific training for individuals who want to work on Ford products. 2-year degree program, regional throughout Illinois. We run that. You graduate from that program with all of the certificates in 2 years, and many times you can go to work and make around $50,000. So many of our opportunities for 2-year degrees change people's lives without the need for a bachelor's degree.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that there are more and more people who argue, well, first of all, there's no arguing over the benefits of post-secondary education, if only in terms of earning power.
Right.
Having education past high school makes an enormous difference.
Yes, it does.
And I think also that there are people who are arguing that we really ought to have more different kinds of opportunities for post-secondary education aside from the four-year mm-hmm. university. And maybe also aside, we do have private colleges, you know,
right.
private technical training institutions.
Right.
We have the community colleges, which are publicly supported bodies. I suppose some people argue that there ought to be even, you know, a lot of different kinds of things so that people can, whether they're coming out of high school, whether they've been in the workforce and they're looking for some different kind of training, there need to be more options for people than we have now.
And I think that's real true. And community colleges can provide part of that, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. In partnership, one of the other things that most community colleges, and Parkland does very well, is we partner with institutions. So I come to Parkland, and I'm not sure if I want to go on. But all of a sudden, for the first time maybe in my life, I'm doing well academically, and I say, well, I'd like to finish the degree, but I'm a non-traditional student. I can't go on to the university. Right on campus with partnerships with four-year degree-granting institutions, you can finish your degree right there. And in some cases, two-year schools have the ability through a partner with a four-year and graduate school to finish a master's degree without ever leaving the community college campus.
How many people do indeed take their associate's degree, take their two-year degree, and then go on in some way, either physically or in this more virtual sense, then go on to a four-year university and then end up with a bachelor's degree or maybe something beyond that?
From Parkland College, I think that at any given time, you will have about 4,000 University of Illinois students who have Parkland College transfer credits that they have taken. So it's a very large number.
So you're getting close to half of your student body.
And about half of our student body is career and technical, and about the other half is liberal arts or transfer. Illinois is wonderful. I just have to say that, having been in two other states, and that many of our four-year institutions will take an Associate of Applied Science or career and technical degree and apply that to a four-year industrial degree. When other states, that's not always the case. In mm-hmm. other states, they'll tell you, well, you've got to start all over and get all university credits. Illinois is wonderful at how well it works with students.
Well, that is, I suppose, if you think of is there any disadvantage to going to a community college, that's one of them. That is, if you then decide you want to go to a four-year university, the question is, will the university accept your credits? And there, as you say, there are a lot of places that say, no, we won't do that. But particularly here in the state of Illinois, they actually seem to be really good about it.
Yeah, there's an articulation initiative that works constantly to make sure that the university that's receiving those credits feels comfortable with the quality of the academic work at the freshman and sophomore level. And so I would put our first 2 years of education up against anybody in the nation. I really believe that Parkland is well known for that. And we're one of the best among the community colleges. There's just no doubt about it. That's what attracted me here.
Yeah. Our guest in this hour of Focus 580, Dr. Robert Exley. He is the president of Parkland College. He is the fourth president. He took up his position July of last year, and before that coming to area here from Iowa, where he was the vice president of academic affairs for Iowa Western Community College for almost 6 years. Before that, he had a variety of positions in Florida at Miami-Dade Community College in Miami. Questions welcome, certainly, if people have specific questions about Parkland. You can do that, and also more general kinds of questions about, you know, about the options for education past high school and how the community college perhaps fits in there. You can do that as well. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. One of the challenges that I know that's four-year universities often face, and it may be a little surprising, is that students are admitted and they get there and they're actually not ready. They are not ready for college-level work. This is something that I'm sure that you also face at Parkland, but there might be an even greater issue if someone thinks that they're not ready to go to the University of Illinois. They're thinking, well, you know, I could start out and see how I do at Parkland. Do you and Parkland and community colleges do have a very open admissions mm-hmm. policy?
Correct.
Do you what sort of issues do you face with students who come to Parkland? They really want to be there. They're motivated. That's not a question. But maybe they have some deficits. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Well, I'd like to address that also in the context. Community colleges were founded on what you mentioned, an open-door admissions policy. And through the early 60s and probably late 60s, early 70s, there was a concept of right to fail. And so mm-hmm. community college didn't do much. They simply said, hey, you want to be here, you have a right to fail, you can take whatever you want. And so there were huge problems with students being successful. Miami-Dade was actually one of the leaders that said, you have a right to be successful, so we're going to assess your academic preparedness, and if you're not ready to do college algebra, you're going to have to take some courses to prepare you for that. Parkland does that. We have mandatory assessment up front on where one is in their ability to do mathematics, to write, and to read. And then we have a whole cadre of courses that are based on the skill level you're at, and you're required to complete those courses. We also have a center, it's an academic success center, where the faculty and advisors and tutors all work together and say, I'm struggling in a math course, and I can't successfully complete it. Well, the second time that I repeat that course, there's a level of intervention that goes up a little higher. And the third time, there's an even further level. And so we work very aggressively together across where the faculty members of all the disciplines work with the faculty members who are specialists in those courses that are called developmental education. Probably the single greatest challenge is when someone has problems in all three areas. Mm-hmm. That's a real challenge. The easiest appears to be mathematics, because many times you've just not learned the math. Reading is a significant challenge, and as we know, reading and writing are really a fundamental part of our whole culture, but especially higher education. We develop a strategy that says we want you to be successful. We accept you where you are, but we're going to challenge you to move to the next level, and the faculty work just really tight with the advisors and folks who care deeply about students. That seems to make a big difference for our students. We don't have the challenge of some of the large inner city schools. City colleges of Chicago, Miami-Dade have a different population, and they may have as much as 70% of their students who have at least one area they need work in. Mm-hmm. Parkland, I think we have the greatest need is in math, which is pretty typical, but it's the one that's easiest to remedy.
Yeah. Well, what percentage of your students going into a particular program actually, you know, what's your rate of completion?
Boy, it varies by program to program. Obviously, if in the career and technical areas, the highest rate of completion will be in the programs like the health careers where you have to have the license to go to work. And so those completion rates are usually in the 90 to 95% rate. I've been pleased at Parkland that as you go down, the quality of the student and the support for the student, I would say completion rates are usually in 70 or 80% range.
Okay. We have a caller here. We certainly would invite others. We'll start out with someone who is listening in Urbana. It's our line number one. Right here. Hello.
Hello. My name's Ruth. Sorry about that. And I actually am a student of Parkland. I am finishing my freshman year. And Parkland's always been part of my life because my mother went there. But one of the things I'm finding to be a problem, or not necessarily a problem, but irritating, is that I find it to be a lot like high school. And, in fact, one of my good friends who worked at Parkland always said that the Urbana students would always come in and call it Urbana West. So I was wondering what you had to say about that.
I'm curious. If you say it's a little bit like high school, what particularly strikes you as it being like high school?
It's very, very small, just the small classes, the individual attention. A lot of times students are still living either at home or close to home. And so, you still see a lot of people in high school. So
yeah.
It's very, very similar, and it's hard to kind of move away.
I think you're talking exactly the challenges we face in trying to create a college culture and a college environment, but knowing that many of our students who are right out of high school are going to see other friends right out of high school. We obviously do not have the things like a big football stadium and a football team, which we won't have at Parkland. That's just not part of our mission. The other thing, though, is to really hope that you would take advantage of the student organizations and academically, if you can achieve, and I mentioned just personally here an organization called Phi Theta Kappa, which is the honors scholarship organization of two-year colleges, which I was fortunate to be part of. First time in my life I'd been an A student. And boy, all of a sudden I was traveling as part of that organization, meeting college students from other places. You mentioned small class sizes. That's one of our strengths. I think if you went to a university that's a very large university and you were in a class like I was when I transferred with 300 students, I really appreciated the smaller class size. We pride ourselves on that. The Parkland campus, I think, is very much a campus that's typical of community colleges, so it's not unique to Parkland that you'll hear this kind of concern.
And starting out with a weakness, I thought I would end on a strength. being a student at Parkland, I was able to take a sociology course where we were in the area of learning so much information, I had to go to the U of I graduate library to check out some books to write my essays. So you really, as well as having some of that might be uncomfortable, there you do learn a lot. And I do believe that Parkland, at one point in time, was like in the top five community colleges in the nation.
Oh, it's still extremely highly regarded, and I think you're experiencing a college experience. I believe if you talk to some of your friends that have gone to other colleges that are not community colleges, they have the same wide range of experiences. Some things they like, some things that they're disappointed in. Yeah. I really appreciate your feedback. That's great. I think we strive very hard to care deeply about each individual student, and sometimes community colleges do that so well it feels like we're holding hands a little bit too much.
All right.
Well, thanks for the call. Other questions, comments are welcome. 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. I suppose that does indeed make the point that one of the big differences, maybe it's the biggest difference between community college and your average four-year college or university, is that students, when they go to college, they leave home. They live in a dormitory, and it's, you know, there is a big kind of a break between what their life was like before mm-hmm. and their chances are their community, chances are they're going to another town. They may be going to another state. And that is one of the, I suppose some people would say it's both one of the challenges of going to college and one of the great things. You get to leave home, you know, that may be for the first time in your life that you're really living in a semi-independent sort of way. And that's an experience that the people who go to community college, they don't get because chances are they're probably still living at home where they grew up.
Depending on the community college, but you know that there's some benefits to mom and dad too when those kids move off. I mean, we were glad when our kids moved.
Speaking
off
as a father with two kids in college, yes.
But you know, there are, if you go to the state of Kansas, for example, there are a lot of rural community colleges, and all of them have housing and dorms, and students come and live on that campus. The college I moved from in Council Bluffs, Iowa, has an enrollment of about 4,000 students. Nearly 800 of those live on campus. So there are community colleges that have that model of housing.
Yeah. I suppose it all depends on how far, you know, what area you serve, where students are coming
exactly.
from, and whether commuting is a viable option or not.
Yeah. And Parkland, we benefit enormously. We don't need to have housing because we live in a university town. And so there are a number of our students who have come from other parts of the service area and other states who live in apartments like University of Illinois students do.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, other questions are welcome. We're about midpoint here at this part of Focus, talking with Robert Exley. He's the president of Parkland College. And if you have questions about Parkland specifically or about the community college, give us a call. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. We were talking earlier near the beginning of the program about one of the attractions of the community college will be economic. That is, mm-hmm. it's a good deal. It is significantly less expensive to take courses at Parkland than, for example, at University of Illinois. What does it cost to go to Parkland?
I think right now you can go to Parkland for approximately $3,500 a year, tuition, books, and fees, which is much less than university.
Yeah.
Now, remember, universities, you have to include housing, board, meals, and all that. And so tuition to tuition is still much cheaper. Mm-hmm. Parkland's tuition right now will be increasing to $82 per credit hour come this fall. That concerns me. That's starting to creep up there. We have increased costs like everyone else, but I would certainly like to have a way to hold those tuition prices down. The other thing that's very significant out there clearly is the cost of all the ancillary things of going to college, textbooks. Our career and technical students are faced with enormous expenses. If you're a dental hygiene student, they're called the tools. You go to dental hygiene, they have those tools they work in.
Yeah.
You have to buy your own handsets. That's usually about $1,500 for a set. And so all of our students, even though community college tuition and fees are lower, sometimes they're still faced in different areas with enormous cost. And we're constantly looking to raise funds to put in our endowed scholarships so we can provide scholarships for students. We have the ability, if you graduate in the top 20% of your high school class, you can talk to us. We can find a way to provide some pretty significant scholarship for you.
Well, that's one of the things I was curious about was, you know, what percentage of your students receive some kind of financial aid?
You know, I believe that I don't have that directly in, but I would say it's way, way over 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time this past fall, we saw something in the community colleges, Parkland being one, that concerns me. And that was that more of our students were making loans than ever before. And so financial aid is a misnomer when you talk about student loans. Your car loan is called car aid, right? It's a loan.
Yeah. And so you got to pay it back.
Yeah, and our students have to pay that. And it concerns me greatly, and not just for community colleges, but for higher ed.
Yeah. Do you think that there is, you know, what kind of possibility there isn't for future for financial aid that truly is a grant or a scholarship that is not something that student is going to, not a debt that student is going to incur?
There was some evidence, I think, that we're going to get a little bit more funding for what are called Pell Grants.
Yeah.
But I don't have great hopes for a lot of that. It comes back to us at each institution to do whatever we can every year to raise funds and put them in endowments, and so we can have our own scholarship dollars to provide.
Let's talk with some other folks. Both of these are Urbana listeners, so we have someone on line one. We'll go there first. Hello.
Comment. You have an absolutely fantastic art gallery at Parkland, and the two women that have been in charge of it the last few years have done a fantastic job to get really varied and interesting art exhibits there. And usually the artist or the curator has come and given a talk and answered questions. So it's just a unique resource for art.
Oh, thank you for reminding me of that. That's absolutely true. I just have been stunned at the quality of the art gallery exhibits and also some of the work of our own faculty members. Just
that,
absolutely
that
beautiful.
So thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
It does strike me, and I'm not sure what sort of resources other community colleges have, but Parkland has indeed has this art gallery, has a very strong theater department, mm-hmm. has a lovely little planetarium, which
Absolutely.
Is an amazing thing, and people should go and see if they haven't been there, have opportunity for students to play sports. You've really gone some way, I think, into providing a pretty broad kind of experience and have events and things going on and the campus for students to do apart from the fact that they, you know, have to attend their classes.
Well, you're absolutely right. Parkland has probably one of the broadest offerings that I've seen in a long time. Athletics, you mentioned, you know, we have a softball team that's finished second in the nation in Division II NJCAA athletics the last 2 years. The baseball team has been in the JUCO World Series at the Division II level, I think, 3 of the last 5 years. Volleyball team this year was just a hair's breadth away from going to the national tournament and had an injury to a young lady who was a 2-time NJCAA first-time All-American. So athletics is strong there. And when the neat thing is we have a lot of local products playing in some of our teams. Theater, wonderful. Spoon River Anthology is currently going to be in the theater pretty soon. I don't know exact dates, but I know it's there. Have a wonderful planetarium. Got a challenge at the planetarium. We need to upgrade some of the technical facilities in it, but it's awesome. You go on down the line. If students have the interest to get engaged in a college experience all across the board, it's there, and I'm just delighted. Did you know that our students in the automotive program build and race their own race car every year?
No, I didn't know that, really.
Yeah, and students in the diesel program compete in tractor pulls. And so it's just amazing. The automotive students the other day went to Chicago, and they had a team of 5 students. Their task was to disassemble and reassemble a Ford Taurus engine that's sitting on a stand. They completed that in 13 minutes and 55 seconds.
They took it apart and they put it back together again in 13 minutes.
And 55 seconds. Finished 6th. It is something they practice. It teaches them everything they need to know. And it is just stunning to watch. And so we try to provide for our students, no matter what their course of study, opportunities for them to do things outside of the classroom, too, to enrich their learning.
Oh, okay.
The only thing we don't have are fraternities and sororities.
We'll go on here. Let's go next to, I will not comment. We'll go to line number 2 in Urbana. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I owe a lot to Parkland. In 1979, I was 39 and wanted to begin college. And I went to the University of Illinois Counseling Department, where I was advised that I was so old that I wouldn't be able to compete with the students who were there. And fortunately, somebody said, well, go talk to the counselors at Parkland. And I did, and I talked to a gentleman, I think his name was Jim Nelson, and he said, well, they couldn't be more wrong. He says, you start here. I'll get you signed up with courses, and you start here, and you'll find out that you will be able to compete just fine. And when I was 49, I got my master's degree from the University of Illinois.
Congratulations.
Had to go back
That's awesome.
There, but I would never, ever have made it without Parkland.
You know, and that's a typical story. It's enriching to hear that. I appreciate that very, very much, and I think that's what we still do today. We welcome people with open arms. You come to us. We have an adult reentry program that Billy Mitchell runs that's designed specifically to address issues you brought up.
Well, they were addressing that a long time ago.
Great.
They had all sorts of supports for returning students, and I was absolutely delighted once I got enrolled and got involved in Parkland with what a rich experience it was. It was just wonderful, and it's probably the best thing we've got going in this community.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you.
All right, well,
bye-bye.
There you go. Next, we'll talk with someone in Champaign. This is line 3. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Is the faculty ranking system the same as in 4-year universities?
The short answer is no. Quite honestly, that it depends on the local community college. The college that I left in Iowa, we did have the same kind of ranking system with as you start instructor, then assistant, then associate, then full professor, with some rank and tenure kind of guidelines. Parkland has the same system, but there are other community colleges that have absolutely no designation other than instructor or assistant professor. So it varies from community college to community college. I think it's much more consistent in the four-year level in the universities.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All okay. right. And yeah. another Champaign caller. This is line one. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Mm-hmm.
I actually run into a lot of your students, you know, working, especially at coffee houses. And they just, because I have a background in education, all that kind of thing, they really are very complimentary, you know, from what I can tell is that the faculty is doing a great job. So just want to pass along that compliment.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. You know, we're a typical community college. The vastly more students work and many times work full time than students who do not work.
All right. Well, again, thanks for the call. Do you find, though, ever, I'm sure the answer must be yes, that at your college and other community colleges, you suffer from a lack of respect? That is, somehow people say, well, you know, it's really great that we have the community college and there are some people that can't go to four-year schools. But, you know, as we all know, well, of course, it's not as good. The students aren't as good. The teachers aren't as good. People aren't as, you know, I'm sure they can find all kinds of ways to say, well, it's nice, but we used to call them junior college after all.
Well, you know, there are two ways to answer that. Personally, 15 years of experience working with colleagues at every level from, you know, elite Ivy League schools down. Personally, I've never been disrespected because I'm in a community mm-hmm. college, and faculty to faculty have been remarkable. That doesn't negate that there is still an image issue. It is just the community college. I've shared with the faculty and staff that there's nothing that gets my blood boiling any faster than to hear just the community college. We're part of the Academy of Higher Education. Everything that we do is with good academic rigor, regardless of the program of study. And you know what? Our students are capable, just like the lady that just called in earlier, of great, great success if we just believe in them and encourage them. So in some ways, I think that will always be the case, because higher education is a place that's, I don't know, we kind of like to set ourselves on pedestals. Community colleges have not tried to do that. We've just tried to simply meet the needs of our constituencies the best we can. But Parkland College does that as well as any college you'll find in America.
Yeah. To another caller. This is someone in Sullivan on our toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Yeah. I went to a junior college in Vincennes back in 1960s and then transferred to IUPUI in Indianapolis
mm-hmm.
and then on to Purdue. And I found Vincennes University most challenging, and I took nothing but life, science, math, foreign language. I mean, I busted butt, and I worked full-time, and I worked, you know, when I could go to school, work my hours around so I could go to school. And I mean, I struggled to get through, but, you know, made good grades and graduated. But I really liked junior colleges. I came from a small class of only six.
Wow.
Out of high school, and it was challenging. But I guarantee you, I like this junior college system very well.
Thank you very much. I agree with you. I'm a graduate of the community college system, and it has made all the difference in my life.
All right.
Thank you.
Again, I suppose that underscores the notion that the expectations and the experience, it can and is indeed rigorous. It's college.
It's college.
We shouldn't just say, as you said, you know, nothing gets you more upset than someone says, oh, well, that's just the community college. That it's college.
Yeah. And one thing that higher education, not just community college, but higher education has maybe not done well enough is communicate to our K-12 colleagues what's expected to be successful in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do better at that. We can help mm-hmm. students understand that you've got to be able to do advanced math. You've got to be able to do writing, and you've got to be able to read well. If you wanted to go into a 3D animation career and technical program, do you think there's any math involved?
I expect there's probably something.
Have you ever had someone work on your car recently that didn't have to run a computer?
Don't think so.
Yeah, and if you go into the manufacturing industry, where you used to have folks who would hand design and move and change tools on a lathe, or now they have to write computer programs to run the machines.
Right.
So every part of education, everywhere we're going in America in the future, is going to demand higher levels of education, and we need to work closer with our K through 12 folks and with the parents and the kids to help them understand this is just how we're going to be successful as a country in the world.
We have about 15 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. I'd like to again introduce our guest, Robert Exley. He's the president of Parkland College and has been since last July 1st. Came to Champaign from Council Bluffs, Iowa, where he was vice president of academic affairs for Iowa Western Community College. And for that, he was served in a variety of positions at Miami-Dade Community College in Miami, Florida. And he is indeed a graduate of community college, had his Associate of Arts degree from San Jacinto College in Pasadena, Texas, and then went on from there and got a PhD from University of Texas, Austin. So questions, welcome here. I want to call in and talk a little bit about the community college, or specifically about Parkland. You can certainly pick up the telephone and give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And we have someone else. This is Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call. My comment that I wanted to make fits right in with what Dr. Exley was saying just a moment ago about the respect that people should give community colleges. I taught at Parkland from 71 to 82, and I was there when Parkland was the first community college in the state to pass a referendum on the educational for the educational fund the first time. Nobody had done it before we did. And I was, one of the things that I did was I was sort of like, I guess to say, a neighborhood organizer, where I would recruit people to help pass the referendum. My next door neighbors happened to be two professors at the University of Illinois. And I thought, well, let me talk to them and see if they'll do it. But I suspect they might not, because after all, we're all competing for limited number of higher education dollars. So I went and I talked to them, and I talked to the wife, and she says, oh, absolutely. She said, Parkland College is one of the best things that's ever happened to this community.
Wow.
This is coming from the university. So, Dr. Exley, I hope that alleviates some of the distress you've experienced from people showing disrespect from community college.
Thanks. You know, it's amazing here in Champaign, the warmth and welcome from the university people that I've received. And I think Parkland has a incredible partnership. That's just awesome. I am just so delighted to hear that. I appreciate what you did back then. It has set the stage for a wonderful college.
Oh, yes. And I would like to say that I am very pleased that you're here, especially with your background. You fit right into to the community college community, and you're doing a great job.
Well, I appreciate that, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Just to, I think it's worth making the point that we talk a little bit about how the college is funded.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, all public colleges, universities are tax-supported institutions.
Right.
But with the community college, it's a little different in the sense that it's more like local schools. People pay a property tax, and that money goes to fund the institution. And the the connection is a little bit more direct. I don't know that people think all that clearly about the fact, yes, they're ultimately some of their tax money goes to the University of Illinois. But this is a different this is a different kind of thing.
And historically, nearly every state that I've studied, and my PhD was in community college education, community college leadership, the original intent was to fund a community college so that the students would pay about a third of the cost, the state would pay about a third, and the local district that's established would pay about a third. Over time here in Illinois, the state's ability to support has been eroded to the point to where the state's support is only about 21-22% now. And so our local tax rate has not changed for nearly 16 years. The local rate hasn't changed. Because of the growth in the community and the increased value, we've been able to keep the tax rate there. But our tuition is creeping up. So students are paying a a higher cost. In Iowa, when they enabled their community colleges by code, they put a cap on the local. And over time, that third, a third, a third that eroded to in Iowa, students are now paying 55%. Hmm. And the local is only paying about 9%. Hence, the college I left, tuition and fees at a community college are about $128 a credit hour.
Wow.
So I am delighted to be here. I wanted to thank the local community for their support, and especially wanted to applaud our Board of Trustees, who have been very, very conservative, and have been very good stewards of the local money. We do need to respond directly because we are our community's college.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk with someone in Kankakee. Line 3. Hello.
This caller's concern does not particularly relate to community colleges located in university cities, but to community colleges which are the only institutions of higher learning in their communities. Your caller wonders if many community colleges still operate on a junior college paradigm, where perhaps a community college paradigm may require that opportunities for advanced study be offered within the context of the lifelong learning which community colleges generally do provide. If the guest knows, to what extent do the various community colleges, which are the only institutions of higher learning in communities, offer the most advanced programs, and is it desirable that they should do so?
I think what we see more often than not are partnerships with four-year degree-granting institutions at the two-year local schools. There is a movement across the nation called the baccalaureate degree and the two-year college. Those are fairly well restricted right now to high-demand areas like nursing, maybe one. I know that the Miami-Dade now offers four-year degrees in nursing and in education and training teachers for teaching science and math, because there's some severe shortages in some career and technical areas. Great debate evolving nationally. Personally, I believe that community colleges have a very important mission the way we are. Mm-hmm. But in those rural areas where that is the only college that's accessible, I'm totally in support of finding a way to support those colleges with partnerships and other ways to meet the local need.
Well, I'm guessing that in those places, you could make the argument for that a situation like that, being able to grant a four-year degree, if that's going to be people's only option for higher education in a certain locale. I can imagine also other places, though, if you're in an area where there's a four-year college or university, they're going to say, no, that's ours. We don't want you giving four-year degrees.
Oh, it's very, very controversial. If you're a four-year liberal arts school, a private four-year liberal arts school without graduate programs that relies on students coming to you, you definitely are going to be competitive about that. Yeah. And so it's a contentious issue across the nation.
All right. We have a couple of other folks. We'll try to get them in. Next, someone on a cell phone, line 1. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I wanted to just piggyback on the earlier caller who mentioned the art gallery. I went out last week to see the wonderful watercolor invitational.
Isn't it beautiful?
On display, and it was just, there are some spectacular works there. I thought it was wonderful. And if anyone does go to visit it, I would urge them not to stop there, but to head on up to the library as well. There are some excellent works of art on display, permanent display in the library. Just thought I'd add that into the mix.
Oh, that's great. And if you want to see some great watercolors, you wander over down D-Wing, where all along one wall there are four gorgeous watercolors by our own Professor Lake.
All right. Well, okay. Very good. Let's go another cell phone call. This is line 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that without Parkland, I would have never gotten my associates, and I'm now getting ready to go on through Eastern to get my baccalaureate degree. But something that I wanted to say is that you have a very high caliber of instructors at Parkland. I have a friend, I myself am a writer, and I've taken your creative writing classes out there, and Jim McGowan is just such a top-notch instructor, and he has I know many people have been impacted by that class, one of which has gone on for a Master's of Fine Arts and said she's never had the quality of instruction that she had in his class. So I just want to encourage people that we in this community have a wonderful opportunity through Parkland to get a very top-notch instruction.
First of all, congratulations on graduating, and I wish you well in your next endeavor. And you're absolutely correct. Parkland is blessed with some of the best faculty, not just with credentials, but in their heart and their ability to care about teaching. It's just amazing.
Yes, absolutely. And their desire to see students succeed.
Absolutely. You're right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, just in the way of another vote of confidence in here, I did want to mention this, too. Someone called and made this comment off the air. This was a caller from Moultrie County. He just wanted to say that he had a daughter who took calculus at the University of Illinois. She took it twice and failed both times. And then she went out to Parkland to take the course. They used the same textbook, and she passed. She got it. And I think the caller really wanted to make the point that he thought what was really important here was the fact that the instructor at Parkland could give more time and personal attention to his daughter. And so as obviously as a result, something happened, but at the third time, she got it.
And, you know, I have great respect for math faculty. I mean, they're just the ones that have the gift can just make math understandable and it can be very difficult at times. And
yeah, I think so.
That
one-on-one
is critical.
Yeah,
it is absolutely critical.
I think it's been proven that, you know, there are the people who think that they're just not capable of doing math and that's really not true, that it has a lot to do with the teacher.
You're
and their
right.
ability to find a way to get it to you so that you can get it. I think it's you know, like with a lot of other things, it's a matter of learning styles.
Correct.
Everybody is different, and you cannot teach everybody the same way. And so I know people who have made some study of this would say, no, there's no anybody, everybody can do math. It's not like that. It has a lot to do with the teacher.
Absolutely. I know that one thing that Parkland is known for nationally is what's called the Center for Excellence, where we focus on exploring how we can improve our teaching so students can improve their learning. And the faculty embrace that every single day of the week. It's busy with looking at different ways that we can do what we do better.
All right. Well, we'll try to get at least one more call. This is someone in Champaign, line number 3.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have to praise anymore the level of the administrative quality and the level of the faculty at Parkland. Certainly it's an excellent community college. But I have a question. Part of this excellent faculty rests on 400 part-time faculty people working there, which they don't have any insurance, nor whatsoever any benefits. They earn less than $600 per class a month and no possibilities of union. Some of them are working there 3, 4, 5, 6 years. I would like to have any comments from the director, if you please. Thank you.
There are two types of non-full-time faculty at Parkland. One is called the part-time faculty, and they teach enough hours. They're part of a bargaining unit, and they do have benefits. Another part of higher education in Parkland is there are what have I've always known as adjunct faculty who teach maybe one or two classes, and it's typical that it's exactly the way that it is at Parkland, where you get not remunerated at a rate that is as high as one would get if you were part of a full-time position. And number two, benefits are usually not part of that. And so what we do is typical. Overall, we strive to have no less than 60% of our course sections taught by full-time faculty or the regular part-time faculty, and we come very close to that.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. And that is this reliance on part-time faculty. This is not just something that you see in community colleges. And this has becoming increasingly a fact of life in higher education.
Correct. And it's something that Parkland actually is ahead of the curve on, not going to a huge number. And it's a budget issue. In Florida, when I was at Miami-Dade, when I first went to work there in the early 90s, nearly 1,000 faculty members. But you can't set your own tuition, and you have no local money in Florida community colleges. So the only variable is part-time or full-time employees. Today, they have about 760 full-time faculty members. So they've lost them over the years, and it is a budget issue more than anything else.
We're just about the point where we're going to have to stop here. Just real quick, something that I thought was interesting that I came across, and it has to do with distance learning, something that more colleges and universities are interested in. Obviously, the University of Illinois is. I was very surprised to learn that in the state of Illinois, the second biggest institution for distance learning is Parkland College. The only bigger one is University of Illinois Chicago.
Correct.
That's something that you expect to be getting into more and more, do you think?
I think every college in the nation has to address that issue, and it will continue to grow. And when you talk about online education, it doesn't necessarily mean that the student is only taking classes online. More commonly, what I have found, it's that student who can't resolve a schedule conflict. And so I can't be in two places at once. An online class becomes very attractive. My own son is taking 15 credit hours at Iowa State. Three of those is an online sociology course, although he lives on campus, because that's the course he needed and all of the face-to-face classes were full. Okay. And so, yeah, our online enrollment will continue to grow without a doubt. There's just no way that is not going to be part of the future of higher education.
Well, there, we're going to have to stop. My apologies. We have a caller we can't take. We're simply here at the end of the time. I want to say thanks very much to our guest, Dr. Robert Exley. He's the president of Parkland College, fourth person to have that job. He started in the position in July of last year. Thanks very much.
Thank you for allowing me to be here. And a college is only as good as its faculty and staff, and Parkland's very blessed.
Very good. Appreciate the time.